Your identity depends upon your origin, which you choose, by the way. And that totally determines your destiny. Your destiny is only chosen if you choose your origin. You have to decide, are you a natural person or are you a supernatural person? If you're a natural person, then your destiny is natural, dust to dust. But if you're a supernatural person, there's no end to what you might accomplish. The natural man accomplishes zero. And in the heavenly court, it will count as nothing. It'll count as absolutely nothing. So you totally wasted, threw away your life. It was totally in vain. They labor in vain unless the Lord build the house. So your natural life, you know, checking with other people, checking with society, checking with, you know, even churches, it's worthless. You have to check with Jesus to see what the Holy Spirit says. He created you for a purpose, to praise Him at all times. Did you know you praise Him at all times? You praise Him at all times? Praise Him at all times? That's kind of like a lot. That's kind of a lot. Your mouth was not made to accuse or gripe or defend or attack or explain or yak. Your mouth was made to praise the Lord. And so it doesn't matter what you think or what you feel about that. Or your mouth was made to praise God at all times. I don't know why you have to see that to believe it. It says so in the Bible. It actually says those words. Your mouth shall, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't know. That's clear to me. That's clear. So there is never time for sad words or bad words or anything else. Amen? It'll change your life. You don't have to even be a pastor to do it. You could actually be just a normal, regular person. Anybody can do it because you're supernatural. You're not yourself. The fact that you wash dishes is the same as preaching a sermon. There's absolutely no difference in the kingdom of God. The fact that you're driving a car, you know, taking someone somewhere or whatever, it's the same. They're all the same. It's just whatever He tells you to do, you do it. You don't care. You don't care if you're exalted on high or reduced to, you know, whatever. It's all the same. You're just celebrating every minute of every second of every day. The guilt of the past is gone. You don't care what you did in the past. So I say that. I don't care what I did. I don't care what I did in the past. Say it. I don't care what I didn't do. Okay, everybody has to say it. I don't care what I didn't do. The thinking, it doesn't do anything. You have to speak it. You have to speak it out loud. Otherwise, God spoke the world into being. You have to speak your life into being. I don't care about the guilt of the past. I don't care what I didn't do or did do. That's meaningless. Jesus Christ died for that. It's gone.
Amen.
It isn't going to be gone. It's gone. You don't wait to see it to believe it. You believe it, then you see it. So if you speak it, like God does, that is, in the Greek language, that's homo logeo. Homo logeo. It means to, homo means same or like. Okay? So same or like. So it means to same speak. Speak the same thing God speaks. Apart from me, you're a wicked sinner. In me, you're a righteous saint. I said, that's good. Say the same thing He says. Hey, you know, Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. But in you, oh, I can do all things. It's the same. It's the same. You speak it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I say the same thing. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. But in Jesus, oh, I can do all things. I can do anything He asks me to do. So the best has been saved to the last. The church is not going to go back to where it was in the days of Jesus, not going to go back to the medieval times, not going to go back to the modern humanistic enlightenment times. It's not going to go to the postmodern world or whatever, all the nonsense that goes on. It's going to be exactly what God intended from the foundation of the world. That's it. I think we're a little short of it. I think we have some place to go. I think there's still a vision ahead of us. You haven't, how many here are already dead, you know, to this world and alive to God? Well, as long as you're dead to this world and alive to God, you're not finished. You have more to do. great and glorious things. Who has it? You know, you just have it. Yeah, I have glorious things that I will yet accomplish.
Amen.
Amen. And you should finish those things.
Hallelujah.
It's easy. His commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard to love your wife, love your husband, love your life the way it is. If you're all alone, you love being alone. If you're married, you love being married. And no matter what the deal is, you love every minute of every second of every day. You're just the happiest person on the face of the earth.
Amen?
Amen? So let's say it. I am happy.
I am
radiantly happy. I want to stand in my chair right now and let the whole world know how happy I am. Yeah?
We also have to be dead to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, all those feelings. Never go by your feelings. Never go by your thoughts. Never go by your will. Never. That's the natural man. The natural man does that. And the natural man is just silly because it amounts to nothing. And it counted as zero. God will not even count it. A person that was out of line will just be cut off. That's all. God isn't going to cut you off. That was your decision to go off. And he's just agreeing with you. You decided you didn't want to go his narrow way. He just cut you off. You went a little bit to the left. Okay, that's cut off. You a little bit to the right. Oh, that's cut off. The only thing that he accepts is totally, perfectly in line with him. Now, what you need to know, and this is so sweet, so simple, is I'll use chairs because I don't have my board anymore. But maybe they'll find it someday. But anyway, the law is the first chair. Today we'll just do the law and the gospel. There's only two things in the Bible.
Amen.
The law and the gospel.
Amen.
So here's the law over here. And now you could have two chairs here if you want. You could have those that disobey the law and those that obey the law. But nevertheless, it's the same. So I'm going to put them together. So there you have it. That's the law. Now the law tells you what to do. So whether you are a good person or a bad person, you're under the law. And so you'll perish. So good people go to hell. Bad people, they have a choice. Now, I'm going to say that again. Good people go straight to hell. If you're a good person, you go straight to hell. If you have been a decent person, a moral person, you know, person that tried real hard to be decent and kind and please people, please your mother, please your father, please your brothers and sisters, and please your neighbors, and so on and so forth, you go straight to hell because you did it. It's because you did it. You chose to do it, and you did it. And you thought you were good, so you go to hell. But if you are a wicked sinner, so that's the other chair here, so I'll put the wicked sinner over here. The wicked sinner is actually closer to the good news, to Jesus, than is the legalistic, moral, nice person. This person here doesn't have to repent twice. This person has to repent of pretending like they're good when they're actually evil. But this person who knows they're evil, they actually can believe in Jesus without any qualification. They can go straight in with boldness, right into the throne of grace. You have to be a wicked, nasty, worthless sinner and know it. You have to be yourself. That's who I am. Apart from me, nothing. Now, the Bible says that. You don't need the Bible to know that. You do not need the Bible to know that you're wicked, selfish, totally self-oriented, don't care for other people at all. But some people lie and say, no, I do care. I love my parents, I love my children, I love my neighbors, I'm a good worker, I'm a wonderful person, and so on. Well, you're a liar. And that's not my idea, that's not your idea, it's God's idea. God counts you as a liar because you didn't have all your deeds done in God. So the only way you can get into heaven is you can't go by chair two, you can only go by chair one. So this chair here is so important. This one can go without being moral, without ever being moral. Because he hates moral. I mean, he hates moral more than anything. More than anything, he hates religious people. He hates religion, and he hates morality. Why? Because it's man at his best. And he hates man at his best. He wants man at his worst. And the only thing he's ever done in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, is to make people feel guilty. To totally depress them out of their skulls until they realize they can't even function. And most people avoid that like the plague. They don't want to be a sinner, but only sinners are saved by grace. Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous, the moral, the good, the nice, man at his best. I came for the wicked, the losers, the people that sinned all over the place and willful and did it all wrong. I only came for the lawbreaker. Now, I didn't focus on this 2 times ago, but Hebrews 8:12 said, because, haughty, because in the Greek, because God, this is God speaking. It's a promise God is making. I will, because I will, something he wants, something he intends. I want to do what? I want to be merciful. I want to be, you can't be merciful to a good person, they don't need mercy. You can only be merciful to a bad person who has done wrong and said, I did wrong. Now, the only one you can be merciful to is the person that said, yeah, I agree, I did wrong. I'm going to say the same thing you say, I'm a wicked sinner. And I'm equal to anybody that's out there. I'm not better than, I'm not worse than, I'm equal to everybody else. Now, I will, this is God, this is the new covenant, this is speaking from over here. I will be merciful, this is the merciful part. He also could say, I'll be powerful. But here he says, I'm merciful. I'll be merciful to the ungodly, the unrighteous. Now, he uses that exact word. Okay, adikia. Dikia means to keep the law, to be righteous. But it doesn't mean like the legalistic law, number chair two. It means like, I will be merciful to those that broke my law, that sinned, that were wicked, that didn't do what I said, didn't have a full heart when they did what they did. See, the problem with this group over here is they never counted their heart. Was your heart in all of that church going and people pleasing and whatever? No, you were proud. You were proud, lifted up. So, whoop, disqualifies everything you just did. Vitiated, obviated, totally eliminated. Sorry. You were proud that you weren't like other people, that you were better. You were proud that you were better than you were last week. You weren't. You're the same. You're always the same. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the only one that has any hope is a wicked sinner who did everything wrong, killed his boy, broke all of God's laws, and didn't line up with God. That's the one that he wants to be merciful to. That one, right there. Now, this is why we're a small little church and so on, because this is the wrong message to preach, but I love it. I don't care if there's 2 people or 1 people. I don't care if it's just Peggy. I'm happy, because this is the truth, and it'll set people free. And I'll tell you another thing, I won't fail. This gospel, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die until I get this message out.
Glory to God.
Because I really stand against almost everybody that's out there. There's a few people that are just the same. Got it. But very few. Most people are weak. And the reason you don't ever grow after you become a Christian and believe in Jesus, and why you never get to the power and the purity and the maturity, is because you never repented in the first place. You have to repent from chair one. Not, you know, this one here takes 2 repentances. I have to say I was a liar first here, and then get to be a wicked sinner so that I can believe in Jesus. I can't go from being a good person to being a Christian. There is no such possibility. I came for sinners. That leaves this one out. See, this is God. So I thank God that most of you, I can look at most of you and see, most of you are wicked.
Yes, sir.
But there's a few of you that are mad about that or sad about that. Yes, wished I'd been better. I never wish I'd been better. I'm glad I was lousy and rotten and horrible. I'm not boasting on it. I'm happy that Jesus Christ gave good news to people like me, losers. You know, people that weren't any decent or any good. This is, to me, too good. Because all of you are exactly like me. I'm sorry. It's pathetic, but I'm sorry. You are exactly like I am. There's no way you can get ahead of me. You can't. Yeah, I don't care. You know, you can have any view you want of you if it's going to work. You and I are alike. We're all in the same boat. Isn't that neat? So you're not dumber than I am, or smarter than I am, or cuter, or whatever you think you are. You're the same. Sorry. You're just dirt. You're just made out of the same pile of dirt I was made out of. Same one that Adam was made out of. Just a dirt pile. And Jesus came for dirt pile people. He said, here's a dirt person. I want to show mercy to dirt people. Now listen carefully. This is God. This is 12. Hebrews 8:12. Listen, this is the new covenant. This is the gospel. I'll stand on this chair so you can see that I'm focusing here on this chair. This is the mercy chair. This is not the power chair. That's the power chair. This is the mercy chair. And he said, I will, because or for, I will be merciful. Now, you can't stop God from doing that. I will be. You can't say, well, no, you might be, you want to be, but no, he said, I will be, and no one can stop him. Merciful to the wicked, to the nasty, to the filthy, to the perverted, to the evil. That's his decision. He can show mercy if he wants to. He can look at any sinner and say, you know what? Even though you just robbed me or cheated me or, you know, you did everything I said not to do, I'll forgive you. He can do it if he wants to. And he wants to. He wants to forgive everybody for all the thoughts you've had that are not lined up with God. Did you know that some of your thoughts are not lined up with God? You have thoughts of arrogance sometimes. You have thoughts of judgment and criticism of other people sometimes. You have thoughts of what's wrong with you. You've had that thought. You've actually thought that sometimes. Do what I say. You know, you've had anger. You've had rage. You've gotten mad at people. You've been disappointed in people. You've been hurt by people. Okay, that's sinning. That is not Jesus. Jesus didn't do any of those. Jesus Christ never did any of those. So this is a church for wicked people. And thank God. I'm checking everybody here. Thank God all of you are wicked, nasty. That's the one Jesus loves. And see, we're smiling when we shouldn't be because we did everything wrong. We broke his law. We didn't do anything he said to do in his law. When he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, I didn't. You didn't. Nobody did. He didn't just say, go to church and be a hypocrite. He said, no, love me with all your heart. I didn't do it. I pretended. But pretending, I don't know, God can see right through pretenders. You can have all the fig leaves you want, but he can see right through that you're naked. You're just butt naked. He can see it. He can just see right through the fig leaves. Ah, you're wearing fig leaves today, I see. The first manufacturing, you know, little outfit is they made clothes for themselves. Because after they'd sinned, they went into the fashion industry. That's the first thing they did. And people clothed themselves, right, to hide their nakedness. But God can see right through your clothing. Isn't that amazing? He could work for the TSA. He can see right through your clothes. And it's awful. But people like to be like God. Well, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Now, when God has an idea, he's not going to ever give up his idea. So if he wants to be merciful to a sinner, he can. And I took it. I took it. I was a sinner, and I got saved by grace. I just took the grace. You want to forgive me, God? I'm no good. I didn't do anything you said. I did everything you said not to do. I did nothing that you said to do. Well, I didn't get around to everything, but I was on my way. I was moving toward doing everything wicked. And I didn't have any shame about it. I didn't have any guilt. And then I never homologettoed him. You know, I never said the same thing he said. But if he would have said to me, you're wicked, I would have agreed. So, I want to be. I chose to be. I never felt, I want to be a good person. That person never appealed to me. I married Peggy to fill in that part. Because Peggy was always good. She did the two sins before she met me. And then after she met me, you know, it was all downhill for her, you know. Because living with me was a pain. It was horrible. And she had made a vow, thank God. I love this vow. I will never confront my husband. I love that. Huh?
I'll be submitted to him.
I didn't hear.
I'll be submitted.
I will be submitted to him. How silly of her. I took advantage of that. I took advantage of that. I deliberately, consciously, knowingly abused her, used her, took advantage of her. Shame, shame on me. So, I get to go to heaven. You know why I get to go to heaven? Because I did everything wrong and I knew it, and I didn't hide it. I didn't have any fig leaves on me. I didn't hide behind religion or morality or anything else. And I shouldn't have. I knew I didn't deserve anything. I knew, I was bad. Now, I thank God there's at least one person in this room, and I know who you are. There's at least one person in this room exactly like me, liketh unto me. Does anybody here know that person? You know who that person is? Oh my gosh.
Every one.
I thought there was only one. It looks like there's two. It looks like there's two. You have to be wicked in order to... this is not good news unless you have the bad news. You have to have the bad news before you get the good news. You have to be sick to have the doctor say, take this and you'll be well. He won't come to a well person and give them good news. Hey, there's a Band-Aid for you. Or, hey, there's a cure for your cancer. You have to have the cancer first, or the cut, or the wound, or the sprained ankle, or something, for the doctor to give you good news. Isn't good news for the doctor to say, take this pill, Jim. I don't need it. What do I need it for if I'm already well? If I'm already a good person, I don't need Jesus' help. So Jesus came to be the high priest. And here, not only that, here's what he also says. He not only said, I'll be merciful to the lawless, to the one that broke the law, the one that sinned, the one that did bad, the one that never got saved, the one that never did it right. But he also said, and I will remember their sins no more. I'll never remember their iniquities. I will never, ever call it to mind. Wow! Not only does he forgive me for being wicked, he'll never even remember it. He won't even put it in his mind. When he sees me, he'll just look at his beloved. Oh, Jim, I love you so much. I love that. I don't know why that pleases me. That's just hunky-dory to me. That's just like, wow. Why would God love a scoundrel like me? I never had all the kind thoughts that Peggy wanted me to have and the whatever. You know, I never gave her the right answer. Whatever she said, do you love me? No. Do you care for me? No. Do you ever think about me? Not really. I mean, I didn't have any of the right answers. Do you all see that? So that should put me in hell. That should put me outside of God. But actually, God loved a person like me because I never lied. I always said what I said, what I said. I wasn't a liar. I lied to people, but I didn't lie to God. And I never lied to myself. So when God said, you know, Jim, did you do what I told you to do? No, sir. Well, did you feel bad about that? Nope. I enjoyed it. I did it deliberately, consciously, knowingly. I wasn't even hating God. I didn't even care about him. I didn't even care if he existed. It was irrelevant to me. I just wanted the sin, period. That's all. So I ignored him. You know, he was nothing to me. I didn't want to look into him or anything. I just did what I wanted to do. Now, why would God love a sinner? Well, unless you're that person, unless you're just like me, you'll never hear the good news. And if you do hear it, and you get to this chair, you will never go to this chair. And I don't know how safe you are. See, a lot of people feel, if I ever get to this chair where I believe Jesus has forgiven me for all my sins, he might ask the question, what sins? Did you ever judge Jim? You know, people, I can tell people censor me just in their mind. And you don't even know all the stuff I thought and said and did. And yet people can make judgments. Well, thank God I'm not like Jim. No. Thank God I am like Jim. I'm glad I was. Because Jesus Christ came and loved me, and I had nothing to do with that. I don't know why. He gave me his law not to make me innocent, but to make me guilty. He gave me his law so that it would even be worse than I imagined, and it was okay with me. I didn't disagree with the law. The law said be perfect. Oh, I didn't even know that was the law. I just thought you weren't supposed to be selfish. But now I find out you had to be perfect because God wasn't selfish and imperfect, so I was supposed to be like that. Well, that made it even worse, but to me it made it nothing different. It's like, well, never tried anyway, never wanted anyway. So it didn't change a thing for me. I just thought it was great news. Wow. And Jesus Christ, the one who's telling me that, is the one who wants to forgive me. I will forgive the unrighteous. I will forgive the lawless. I will forgive the one that broke the law. That's amazing. And not only that, I will give them my Holy Spirit. So if you believe in chair number 3 here, then you get chair number 4. This doesn't relate to all those other chairs I've been using, but it's okay. But forget the numbers. Right now, so this last chair here, you only get if you go to this chair here, which you only get if you go to that chair there. And you don't go to that chair. Now, if you went to this chair, you have to repent twice. Lord, I'm sorry I said I was good when I was really evil. Lord, I'm sorry I was a religious person when I was actually an unreligious person. Lord, I'm sorry that I really killed Jesus with all my sins. Woohoo! Now, that takes some doing. I just tell you, that's hard to reach such a person. The Jewish people are so stubborn, they still haven't been reached. They're still trying to be good. I heard a guy last night at the dinner party we were at, and he said, you know, I went to India or China or wherever he went. He went someplace among the Buddhists or the Hindus or somebody's. And he said, we had a lot in common. They believed in family, and they believed you should be good, and they believed you... See, so his idea of Christianity was you have to be good and believe in family and all this kind of nonsense. Well, I don't believe in that. It's not even real. I've never met such a person. Every person I've ever met is selfish. Every person I've met is a liar. Every person I've ever met that's a religious person is phony, fake. And their deeds are not wrought in God, and they won't even get into heaven, as far as I know. Maybe they will. I don't really care. I'm not God, and I'd be happy for them to go into heaven. I don't care. But I tell you what, I don't have the confidence they do because they believe in this third chair that they did the same thing in the fourth chair. And the only reason they didn't grow is because they had religion. And religion is no substitute for the truth. Religion is not acceptable to God. He hates it. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. To me, that's crystal clear. You can't be a moral person. You can't be a decent person. Because if you're a moral person, a decent person, you look down on other people, especially those sinner-type people. And you're not one of those. Yes, you may have been forgiven for your sins, but you only did five or seven or whatever. You know, you didn't think you were totally rotten and worthless. That's the only people he came for. Apart from you can do nothing. There's nothing. All your righteousness is a filthy rag. This righteousness right here, the Bible calls, Old Testament, filthy rag. New Testament calls you a hypocrite. So you have to qualify. I don't know why. We should stop right here and everybody go, yahoo! Because that is such good news. And I haven't even got to the message yet. This is good. But that's Hebrews 8:12. I will. This is God's decision, not based on the law. There's no law here. That's the law. Those two are the law. Here's his decision. I will be merciful to the lawless, to the unrighteous, to the wicked, to the sinful, to the iniquitous, to the perverted. That's who he'll be a great. That's his idea. Nobody made him do it. Nobody told him to do it. He just decided. I believe that God. I believe the reason he gave the law was to put everybody in chair one so that we could all get to chair three and then go on to chair four. And if you go that way of the sinner, you actually can go all the way to perfection. But if you have even one thought that you could be good or you are better than you were last week, you're not going to make it. You will never grow. Now, I'm not even being strong. I could be stronger. Because I want you to understand, he hates religion, all of it. And the world is loaded with it. And not only Hindus and Buddhists, and that's why the president's like that and everybody... They're all like that because they all believe in the goodness of man, you know. If we force people to behave themselves and give Section 8 housing to people and so on and so forth, we're being wonderful. No, you're not. It's just simply robbing from the rich and giving to the poor, and it's all stupid stuff. And it ain't going to work, and it's going to bankrupt the whole country, and the whole world will go to hell in a handbasket because we never obeyed God. Stop being kind to people and nice to people. Let it be Jesus, not you. And the only one that he loves are wicked sinners who know better. That's why Abraham was chosen by God. The only reason he was chosen was because he was a man of faith who didn't believe in himself. He believed in God. That's the difference right there. He didn't believe in it. He didn't think he was a good moral person. And you know, the Jews have proven to me, not to them, but to me, I've looked at Jewish people and I can see what fakes they are, what phonies they are. I can tell their heart is not in it. Okay? So also the Christians. I can see. Christians aren't even Christian. They don't have the love that I have. I have a passionate love affair with Jesus because I was a chair one person with no hope. And now I'm a chair three, four person. I'm just going to keep going until I get perfected. Woohoo! And I'm having fun the whole way. Why? Because I never did anything to get here. I just believed. And then after that, he gave me the Holy Spirit. Wow, and he does stuff. And you know, I love it. And I don't even count. I don't even know how many good things I've done. I don't care either. I don't count them. I don't look at them. I don't even care about them. Why? Because the Bible says, beholding him, we're changed. So why should I look at my change rather than him that maketh the change? So I don't look to see, well, what kind of wonderful fruit have I produced or something. I don't care. I don't care if I've produced any fruit. I'm never looking at my fruit. I don't care about my fruit. Don't care one bit. Because the Bible says the only thing that a branch should ever do is make sure it abides in the vine, not make sure it bears fruit. So if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. I can hear that. That's very clear. Do number one, you get number two. But I'm not after number two. And I'm never into marketing. I'm not into, you know, how you can sell something to somebody that's worthless. I don't really care if the fruit is out there or not out there. I'm just looking at Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every day it's Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every day that I go to work, and I go to work all the time. Every day that I go to work, I always say whenever I go, wherever I go, God is good. I don't ever say I'm good or, you know, today's going to be a wonderful day because I'm here or something. I don't say that. I only say God is good. Because apart from him, I can't do anything. But I always say, now I'm getting older, I'm forgetting everything. I mean, I'll walk in a room and then I'll forget why I'm there and all that stuff. I have no idea. I just had an idea and I went into a room and then I forgot what it was I was there. And I asked Peggy, Peg, why am I here? Well, how would I know? You know, she doesn't know why I'm there either. But I just thought I'd ask. But I can't remember anything. But I'll remember one thing. You cannot shake this. Jesus Christ loves me. So I'm not going to be put down because I'm stupid or fumbling or, you know, my teeth are going to fall out or something. I don't really care. Let it happen. Sorry for y'all, but don't care about you. Why? Because I care for Jesus. And all my love is in Jesus. And if he gives you to me, then I love you too, but I love you in faith. Do y'all understand? I'm not trying to feel it or think it or understand it or have some kind of, you know, willpower thing. I'm not trying to love. I'm not working at this thing. His commandments are not burdensome. So I'm going to go all the way to heaven, sit on the right hand of God, and I'm going to have a ball because I'm his bride. And I know I don't have to do a thing. I know being his bride, I don't have to do a thing. He does it all. Oh, apart yeah. from me, you can do nothing, but in me you can do all things. Glory I know God. That. So because he loves me with a perfect love, I can't lose. Now, let's look at Hebrews 9, but I don't want to start at verse 1 because I did that last time. So I want to start, now that you understand the background, I want to start with 9-11. Hey, I never thought of that. Isn't that this week?
Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday? Wow, I should have waited on this sermon. I should quit right here. 9-11. So this is 9-11. All right. Hebrews 9-11. All right, here we are. Where am I? All right. But Christ, being come, in other words, he became high priest of the good things which are coming. Okay. Jesus Christ is only got good things. And he came into the world, this is saying these words, he came into the world to bring good things. He doesn't have any bad news. He has no bad news. I've come to condemn. I've come to destroy you. You know, the only thing he's destroying is your confidence in your good works. Your confidence in yourself being shapeable. You don't have any ability to shape yourself. You have no ability to repent. You have no ability to believe. You have no ability to do anything. Everything that's come to you is a gift. It all comes not because of the law, because under the law you're only a sinner and you die. It all comes because he makes a promise. Promise in the Greek is epiangelos or epangelion. That's a promise. So this new covenant, the word in the Greek, again, there could be, there's two words for new, naos, that's new. That means like, my red ball got busted, I got a new one. Just another red ball like the last one, or it could be blue. But this word, kine, or kineo, that means a new kind that never was before, unrelated to the other ball. A new kind of ball that you never saw before or heard of before. So the new covenant is nothing like the law covenant of old, where the pressure was on you to shape up. Don't be chair one, he was saying. And yet, God's very purpose was to make me chair one by saying, don't be chair one. The whole point of him saying that was so that I would become chair one. So he said, don't become chair one, because under the law, you'll be destroyed. And that was true. So he didn't lie. But he said, don't do it. But it made me do it. The word he said, don't covet, I wanted to covet. I didn't even know what it meant, but to find out, oh yeah, well, I do that. Don't lust, well, I did that. Well, don't be angry. Well, I did that, and that made me mad just for him to say that. You know, so every time he said, don't do something, I wanted to do it, or I did it, or I'd already done it. You know, I mean, the law wouldn't help me one bit. So the law has no mercy in it, and it has no power to help me. That's what's wrong with the law. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses. So God's left hand gave me the law, but his right hand gave me the gospel, grace. Grace is mercy plus power, these two chairs. So now, this law came along to make me guilty so that he could give me as a free gift mercy and power. That's why he did it. He gave me the mercy so that then I could qualify for the free gift of the Holy Spirit. He just wanted me, Jim, I want to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Woohoo! I mean, I don't even know what it is, but whatever it is, it sounds like a good thing. Why? Because he's a mediator of a new covenant that is all good stuff. Everything is good things. Everything about God is good. The natural man does not know God is good. The natural man does not know God is good. The natural man knows nothing except you're supposed to be good and you're not supposed to be bad. Well, that's all the weight on me. The good news, the truth about God, is not that. That is only meant to make you a one so he could then give you the three and four. Because the truth, this is the heart of God, was to give you as a free gift mercy and grace. Power. Change you. Anything good happens to you, give God the glory. Don't give yourself the glory. You didn't do it. Now, everything is going your way. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't really care about any other pastor, what they're doing, or teacher, or anything else. I don't care. I don't even care if I know half of it or one third of it. I don't care what I know. What I know is right. I don't care about the rest of it. I'm sorry. What I care about is the truth that sets you free, 3 and 4, right here. Everything else is gravy. Everything else is gravy. I'm not saying there are other pastors aren't Christians and they don't know anything. All I'm saying is they're not very clear and they're not very accurate. And they haven't gotten any further than I have. Because it's hard getting past this group right here. You have to get past this group right here until everybody gets a hold of it and says, you know what? God only has good things and God is only good. And therefore I have no more complaints, no more gripes, no more worries, no more cares. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. I'm a Christian. In the true sense. I'm not just a Christian like trying, doing my best. We don't want you to do anything. It's all been done. How can you do something when it's already been done? How can you add to perfection? Jesus Christ is your life. When I go before God, I'm not going to go before God. I'm going before God in Christ. He's my lawyer. He's the one that'll say, oh, Father, don't worry about it. I paid for Jim already. You see, he's in the Lamb's Book of Life. We open that book up. And I won't even go under the law book. The law book will never be opened up to judge me. If it is, God will have to ignore it. Because Jesus has another book that's even better. Because it's from God's right hand. And that one completely fulfills and completes what the other one couldn't do. The other one told me what to do, but it didn't forgive me when I didn't do it, and it couldn't help me to do it. I got a better covenant. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. That means what the prophet said under the law, the priest forgave under the gospel, and then the king executed under his power. I'm going to say it again. This law is a prophetic declaration of what God wants under the law, left hand. But this is the priestly that forgives people that break the law. Anytime you break the law, you don't go to Moses, you go to Aaron. This is the priestly office. And this one is King David. The king executes not just what the law says, but executes the law through the gospel that's now been perfected or fulfilled. Here, the law no longer counts. And the last verse of the 8th chapter says this, that the law, which was given by Moses, it's old, palaio in the Greek language. Palaio it's now near, egus, near to death. Why isn't it dead? I'll tell you why. Because there's 3,000 years where this law isn't quite finished yet. Jewish people still believe in it. The Buddhists still believe in it. The Hindus still believe in it. So even though it's gone for me, it ain't gone for most people. For most people, they're still living under the law. Most Christians that I know are under the law. Most Christians that I know are still sad, depressed. Most Christians that I know are still, half in the world and half in Jesus. There is no such thing. I don't know what that is. How can you be half and half? I understand the behavior of it. I'm just simply saying, it can't be your mind. If I sin, y'all understood that. If I sin, it's nothing. I'd say, Jesus, sorry, I did wrong. Because the Holy Spirit immediately convicts me. Jim, you just did wrong. Yep, I did. I agree with that. Homo legeo. I'm going to say the same thing you just said. That was not Jesus. And I've taught Peggy how to say that. When I do something that you know is not from Jesus, and whether it is or it isn't, say it anyway. Just say, Jim, I don't think that was Jesus. And I'll be convicted. And she can tell you I am. I don't ever justify it. I don't ever go, well, that's not true. I always go, you're right. That was wrong. What I just did was wrong. It was evil. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus would never have done that. And the way I did it was wrong. Not only what I did was wrong, but the way I did it. The attitude I had. Why? Because sometimes I forget. I look in the mirror and I forget what I look like. Is anybody else like me? Yes, everybody's like me. Everybody. I mean, you can't get ahead of me. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to be exactly like me. Sometimes you forget. That's why it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it's true. So there are times when you forget that you're a Christian. That Jesus Christ is a Savior. But He's also a Lord. Savior is three. Lord is four. He's both. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. As prophet, He's not a Savior and a Lord. He's just a prophet declaring the perfect will of God under the law. That's the holiness of God. But the holiness of God can't be excluded from His mercy and His power. So when you put together the holiness which condemns my sin with the mercy which forgives my sin and causes me to be righteous by faith, then you add that to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So prophet, priest, and king, all three offices. Jesus fulfills everybody. He's the Moses, He's the Aaron, He's the King David, He's everything you need to be. Now, there isn't anything else left. So you need a prophet? That's Jesus. You need a priest? That's Jesus. You need a king? That's Jesus. He's my all in all. Not only that, He's my bridegroom. Not only that, He's my best friend. Not only that, He's my all in all. Jesus, one-stop shopping. I love it. I get everything when I get Jesus. Now, this gospel is so hard to get a hold of, that when somebody gets a hold of it, I know it had nothing to do with me, because I've preached it for umpteen years, and I've lived it. But I can tell it's very hard for people to get a hold of. They don't disagree with the words, they just don't experience what I'm experiencing. So I can tell, well, you never repented then. Somehow you never said, I am a rotten, no good person, worthless, unable to accomplish anything, I'm not smart, I'm not good, I'm not great, I'm nothing. I'm an absolute zero, nothing. I mean, everything I did was displeasing to God, period. Now, when you have this kind of faith, you hear the good news. You're the only one that can hear the good news. This person has no ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's why Christians don't grow. They just believe Jesus forgives their sins, and that's just kind of a mucky, mucky, blurry concept. They're not actually praising Him at all times and thankful at all times and so on. I can just tell they're Christians who aren't really Christians. I'm not condemning them. I have no idea what God's going to do with them. I don't really care. That's their business. But y'all, I want you to be guilty as all get out if you don't go all the way to chair 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and whatever. Because I want you all to be perfected. Why? Every man mature in Christ. I don't even have a choice on this. I have to make sure that everybody here goes all the way. So I'm not going to be nice. I'm not going to let you have a little bit of religion. You can't have any. You have no religion, no you, no self, no addition, nothing. You have to be absolutely dead. So I have no respect for your gripes, your complaints, your moanings, your groanings. I don't care about it. That needs to die. You're a sinner, you're wicked, you're nasty, and you're guilty. It's all get out. Now, you just looked in the mirror and you forgot what you look like. Now, but when you get a hold of it, I take no credit. If you get a hold of it, that was Jesus Christ that showed you that. I did not show you that. I can say the words, but I can't convict you. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's the one that does all three of these. Now, first of sin, because you didn't believe. Second, now that you believe, your righteousness is not yours. It's actually Jesus, because he goes to the Father. When he went to the Father, that was you going to the Father. That was your righteousness right there. Your sin was what you did. He forgave that. But now your righteousness is not yours at all. It's what he did. That's why your deeds are wrought in God. And that's why then I will to be what I am, which is that. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to do what I want, which is I'm not that anymore. It isn't that I don't want to be that. It's that that's not who I am. This is who I am. And that's who I am. And therefore, I know he'll say to me, well done. He won't say, well believed. He won't say, well wanted. He'll just say, well done. You did it. You did it. Wow. How did I do it? Because Jesus did it. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Jesus loved Peggy. Jesus loved Margaret. Oh, I love it. It's powerful. Do y'all have this kind of simple, no brilliance here, nothing? I just read the Bible. I just take it totally literally, and I spend hours and hours and hours. I get paid to. It's my profession. You know, I get paid to do it. But I love it, and I read the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin and whatever. I read it all the time. Why? Because I love to dig into the Word. It's too good. I'm not reading it to get something. I'm reading it to enjoy someone. Mm-hmm. He loves me. And I'm reading a love letter. Dear Jim, I love you. And the next page, Dear Jim, I love you. Dear Jim, I love you. It's always the same. Every page is, Dear Jim, I love you. You know, it's like your kids when they send you a card. XXXX, zero. I don't even know what zeros are. Hugs, I guess. Yeah, that's what they are. Hugs, okay. Well, whatever they are. There's a whole bunch of them. And that shows how much that grandchild loves you, or that child, you know. It's just our birthday, so we got a lot of cards. And there's a lot of X's, and even little John, who's what, 7 or 5 or whatever he is. Wait, 4? Okay. Whatever he is. We have too many grandkids that remember them all. But anyway, he'll buy a bunch of X's and stuff, you know, because he's just copying the others. They tell him, you put an X there, John. That shows you love Grandpa Jim. He doesn't know any better, so he just writes the X. Oh, I love it. Don't you love it? I don't need to look into people's minds or their hearts or anything. I don't need to look at anything. I just believe everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. You know, I make no apology to anybody. I'm not comparing myself to anybody. I'm not aiming at anything. I don't care if I drop dead right now on the spot. I've lived a full life. I celebrate every minute of every second of every day. I have no thing I fear, and I have no thing I feel guilty about. I have no guilt. Why? There's a new covenant. It's an entirely new kind of covenant. This is the truth that'll set you free. I'm free. I'm free. And you know, this gospel is not only going, it came to me, but it goes to people, and there are people everywhere that get a hold of this. You just don't have any churches. I don't think there's one church that has the gospel. I don't think there is. But let's say there is. Well, let it be this one. I mean, I don't really care about others, but let it be this one where everybody gets it. Everybody. Everybody. And so, you know, that's what I want. I want everybody here to be happy, free, at peace, at rest, loving, you know, kind, you know, whatever. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of that, that's all gift of God. That's gift of God. You don't have to work at that. It's already there. You don't have to try to be loving. You are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You don't have to try to be what you already are. Just be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself as a sinner. Now be yourself as a saint. This is the new you. This is the new you. And I believe it's me. Even if I do something wrong to Peggy or whatever, I don't even count it. Peggy, I just forgot. So, you know, forgive me. And if you don't, it's okay. I forgive you for not forgiving me because Jesus forgives me. So you're going to hell because you didn't forgive me. Ha ha ha. You know, I mean, I'm not really worried about all the nonsense that people go through to try to, oh, I'll make a big effort. I don't make any big efforts. How many of you are like me? You just let Jesus do it all. I just let Jesus do it all. He's already done it. We're completing him. Woohoo! So why would I ever then, when somebody says, you didn't do this or you did that or whatever, why would you even look at that for a second when Jesus Christ has already made his decision? Jim, I love you. It's over. Huh. then I don't care what I did in the past, and I don't care what I didn't do. I don't care what I felt and what I thought. I don't care. Totally. I mean, I'm taking it literally. I think he meant everything he said. I think God can't lie. So because I think that, and I believe that, and I know that, that's the way I feel. That's the way I act. And when I don't, I just say, well, I wasn't Jesus. Just Jesus, forgive that. Thank you. Hallelujah. Did you see how long I took on that? It just took a second. Because you don't work your way into heaven like, I'll spend the next hour at the altar. I'll spend the next hour running around the church. I don't spend any time. Why? Jesus Christ already did it. And if he did it, he did it. Now, I don't have to think about that. There's nothing to think about. There's Jim, apart from him, you do nothing. So that's no big surprise. But in him, you do all things. Okay, there it is. So I'd rather focus on who I am rather than who I used to be. Even though I still sin daily. I keep it up. I have the one-a-day plan thing. And it's not a big deal. That kind of humbles me. You know, well, can't believe I wasn't perfect again today. No, I don't even think about any of that stuff. Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict me. I don't even help him. I don't even put it on the refrigerator. I don't do anything. Do y'all see how beautiful this is? All right, now, this is so incredible. Verse 9:11, listen to this. And we can quit with this verse. But Christ, who became our high priest of the good things which are to come, melonton, by the greater and more perfect teleos, tabernacle, skene, tent, not made by hand, that is, not of this creation. Now, the verse prior to that said that when Jesus Christ came, he divided between these law chairs and these gospel chairs. And he died right there. And everything he called after that was time of reformation or time of refreshment. Okay? Everything before that was not reformation because it was still under the law. The reformation got rid of the law and went to the gospel. That's how we became Protestants. Because we protested against people saying, behave yourself. No, there's nothing to behave. Jesus behaved. Jesus is my good behavior. Does this make sense, Rosemary? Jesus is your good behavior. You're never going to be good. You don't have to be. He's your life. Just rejoice. Have a good time. Don't worry about your houses and all that stuff. Just know, hey, everything's going my way. I don't have to worry about sickness. I don't have to worry about anything. Amen? Do you all believe in a good God? I mean, he's good. You know, he has good things. Let's say a bad thing happens. Okay, how do I know what good and bad is? It looks bad. Doesn't mean it is. It'll be good. I know one thing. Everything is good. In God's hands, even the bad works out to be good. That's why I rejoice in all things. I don't rejoice in some things. I rejoice when people are angry at me or misunderstand me or hate me or whatever. I rejoice in that. Thank you. Good enemy. This is just the kind I need. So do you all have good enemies like I do? I have wonderful enemies. They're perfect. Because my Father has to review everything that's coming at me. Oh, let me check that, Satan. Oh, no, no, that would hurt Jim. No, can't do that one. And you know what? When I'm sleeping, God's staying awake, blocking the devil. Because the devil is going to try to do something to, you know, maybe hinder me a little bit or hurt me. How many know that all the bad things that happen to you are actually wonderful? It doesn't hurt you. Let's say you never amount to anything. You never go anywhere. So what? Why is that bad? You met Jesus Christ. He loves you. He's taking you to heaven. So why do you need health? Why do you need wealth? Why do you need friends? Why do you need anything? I got everything. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things, I got it all. I don't need to see it to believe it. I believe it. Now, this is so good right here. This time of refreshment, the Greek word doesn't say reformation. It doesn't say time of refreshment. You know what it says? This is the word right here. Diorthoseos. Diorthoseos, what does it mean? It means setting everything right. Putting everything in perfect alignment. That can never happen under the law. Under the law, nothing is set right. Everything is exposed as being wrong. Everything. Till Jesus comes. And when the perfect comes, the imperfect passes away. Because Jesus perfects that which was out of the way. It was out of order. The spirit was out. The soul was out. The body was out. The material things were out. Everything was out. So Jesus then corrects it all and says, Jim, let me put you on a whole new, different, entirely different foundation. Kingdom of God. You're going to be my son. Oh, as a matter of fact, you're going to marry my son. Oh, as a matter of fact, you're going to be the bride of my son. You'll be the body of Christ. It's an intimate thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What all do I get? Oh, don't worry, it's too much fine print. You can read it later. I put it all in the Bible. Oh, just go and read that. Oh, hallelujah. So all your promises are yea and amen. Wow, I live by promises. I don't have any laws. I don't have to love my wife. I don't have to love the church. I don't have to love anything. I don't have to love God. I do. I just do. That's who I am. I'm a lover. I don't have to try to be happy. I am. I don't have to be at peace. I am. Do you see that? So there's no effort on my part. I say, well, I don't have enough peace in my life. I need to get some peace. Really, where are you going to get it? It's either in Jesus or it's not. If it is, you got it. Do y'all see that?
Yep.
Too wonderful. I mean, this is good news. I hope somebody's getting really excited.
Amen.
Okay, I'm kind of finishing up here. Now, this good news, this brand new kind of kingdom thing, even though it's been talked about for 2,000 years, I don't think it's been understood. I'm sorry, and I'm no innovator or anything like that. I just love it. I just can't believe it's that good. And I'm so glad he ruined my life by making me a pastor. I mean, really, this is not at all what I wanted. I did not want to be a pastor. It was kind of like a waste of time. I never saw a pastor and thought, I'd like to be like him. I didn't want to be a priest or a pastor or a rabbi or whatever. I just wanted to be great and famous and awesome and stuff like that. But those were loser type things. But here I am, a pastor. And I love it. It's the best job ever. If you made me the president of the United States or made me the head of some huge GE corporation or something, I don't want that. What a horrible bondage that would be. I got the best job going. I get to be with Crystal.
Amen.
That's powerful. I get to be with Sam.
Thank you.
It's too powerful. I get to be with my sister. Perfect. Couldn't be better.
Amen.
I get to be with my sister. It's perfect. Get to be with my brother. Everything is going my way. Is everything going your way?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a matter of faith. He wrote it in the book. You don't have to believe it, but if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. You can't make yourself believe it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. You can't make yourself believe it. You either do or you don't. If you don't, you don't. Just be yourself. You're still sitting in the chair where you can get somewhere. Because this center chair is a great chair to sit in. You can be right here. You can just be yourself. Say, I don't even think I'm a Christian. I think I'm a sinner. That's no problem. Jesus comes and loves sinners. You have to be a sinner to be a Christian. So this is a wonderful chair to sit in. God, I don't care about you. I don't love you. Never have and never will. That's all right. That's just your flesh talking. It doesn't mean a thing to God. He ignores you completely. Because when he loves, he loves. When he sent his son, he didn't send his son for the church. He sent his son for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Woohoo! And not only that, that's just chair three, you also get abundant life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's not the same thing as water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is different. It's the power to govern. It's the power to do what you couldn't do apart from him. So that's all it is. You say, well, when you're born again, you can do it. No, you can't. You are only born again. You have the image. You do not yet have the likeness. Because you have to go through discipleship, suffering, chastening, being beat up, being smashed to smithereen by that law that you're no longer part of. But the law now doesn't say thou shalt not. Now the law says thou shalt not. It's a promise. That same law destroys you because of the good news. And it won't let you then be you, the old you, because it puts you as a new you. And it tells you, Jim, you're no longer Jim. You're now new Jim. Christ in you, Jim. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting who I am. Just as I am without one plea. But you know what? I'm no longer that am. I'm a new am. Now I have a plea. I have no problem now. Because I'm complete in him. I'm totally complete in him. All right, let's have somebody testify. This is really good news. Time of refreshment. This is a time of reformation. His death. The death of a testator, when someone writes a testament, a will and testament, you don't get it until he's dead. Not when you're dead, because then you don't get it at all. You get it when he's dead, the one that made the promise, that was Jesus. So he had to die. That's how I got in chair three. And then after he died, I got all the goodies. Well, I didn't get them all, but I got them all. I didn't get them, but I got them. In other words, I have some of them, first fruits, but I don't get all of them. So, in other words, as a Christian in chair four, you actually see everything. There's more. I mean, there's more to this world than what we have right now. And it's a billion, quadrillion times more. But you got some of the reality already. It's heaven on earth for me. I'm in heaven with you people. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. But let's say you were all communists. I'd still be in heaven. But let's say you were all thieves and mafia. I'd still be in heaven. Because I'm in heaven wherever I am. Wherever I am, that's where heaven am. I'm just having a ball. I'm having a ball. Are you all having a ball? This is the best world ever. I want this world just the way it is until it's over. And when it's over, I want, I'll go and be where I belong. This is not my home. This is just testing ground. This is just a, you know, chastening. And I love it. I have plenty of sins to get rid of still. I always keep two or three around.
Just in case.
Just in case. We're not wearing a scarlet letter anymore. Jesus Christ wore that for you. It's over. It's done. You're free forever. To say you're forgiven or redeemed or whatever, that word in the Greek is apolluso, which means, it's not a horse, but that what that means is you've been set free or loosed from your chains, loosed from your ropes, some rope that was holding you under the law, you've been loosed from that. That's all it means is someone untied the string and said, let the horse go, let the slave go, whatever, all your chains are broken. You are no longer apologizing to anybody and you're not restricted anymore. You're completely free. That's too good. I love that. I'm at home. I don't have any enemies. They may hate my guts. I don't care. I love them for hating me. It doesn't bother me. I don't want to be understood. I don't want people to favor me. I don't want anything. I already have everything. I have everything. Woohoo! It's too fun. It's too fun. It's too fun. We're not under the law. Thank you for sharing that, Sam. It's powerful. Thank you for being a bump on the log. That's a Christian bump on a log.
Right.
Amen. You don't, in other words, what he's saying is I don't have to be nervous about where I might be or could be or should be or whatever.
Exactly.
I don't care what I am. I know Jesus Christ loves me just the way I am. It's powerful. It's totally freeing.